I'd like to talk to you this story this morning about David and Goliath, truly one of the great stories of the Bible. Probably some people would say that David and Goliath is probably the most striking story to them in the Bible. There are a lot of great ones, obviously, in text. But deeply embedded in the hearts and minds of just about every person on earth is the story of David and Goliath. So many people, whether Christian or not, have heard the story or some version of the story. And there's so many places within this story that I believe God can speak to our hearts. I thought about doing a six-month series on David and Goliath, but for now I've decided not to. But you never know, it might be coming. I hope maybe some of you have had an opportunity to read the story, knowing that we're going to look at it today. And I want to invite you to chapter 17 of the book of 1 Samuel. I'm going to read part of the story. And I'd like to invite you as you read it to ask in your heart, what does God say to you about this great story in this great book? 1 Samuel chapter 17, I'm going to read the first 16 verses. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Socah in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephaz Damon between Socah and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle lines to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another with a valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels on his legs. He wore bronze greaves and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out of the line and for the battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul said, and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Now David was the son of an Ephronite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time he was old and well advanced in years. Jesse's 3 oldest sons had followed Saul to the war. The firstborn was Eliab, the second Abinadab, and the third Shammah. David was the youngest. David was the youngest, the oldest. The 3 oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, the Philistines came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. The Philistines were, at different times in their history and the Israelite history, the number one enemy of God's people. They were the number one enemy of the Israelites throughout several generations. The Israelites lived in fear of them for much of their existence during this time period. They were afraid of the next invasion. They knew that the Philistines had a mighty army and were determined at times to overcome them, to annihilate them, to burn down their cities and take them into slavery and kill the rest of them. The Israelites knew that the Philistines were a ruthless people. One of the reasons that the Israelites had wanted a king was they believed that if they had a king, the king could help protect them from the Philistines and fight their battles for them. Every soldier in the Israelite army feared the Philistines. And then we have in this chapter the story of Goliath, who embodied the power and the threat and the awesome nature of the enemy of the Philistines to the Israelite people. Goliath. Who was he? Number one, we know that Goliath was a champion warrior. That's the words that's used to describe him here. He was experienced. He was fearless. He had a reputation to being the biggest and the strongest and the most mighty soldier in the army of the Philistines. He's described as being over 9 feet tall. You think, well, 9 feet tall, were there people that tall back then? Well, actually, in the Bible, there's several descriptions of a race of people and a line that went through the Old Testament that were called giants, not just once, but several times in the Old Testament. There were a number of people that apparently had a certain genes that went through them that were extremely big during that time in the Old Testament. As I said, it doesn't just occur once, but several times. 9 feet tall. He was big. He was strong. He was heavily armored. In addition to being this massive man, presumably muscle and strength and all those things, he also had around him this armor to protect him. He had a bronze helmet, verse 5 says, on his head, and a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs, bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back, and a spear in his shaft. I mean, Goliath had everything he possibly could to be a mighty and powerful and unbeatable soldier. He had an armor bearer that went in front of him. The armor bearer often would carry an extra shield, and it would be his job as they approached the enemy to protect the soldier as he fights with his arms to protect him. He was loud, he was hostile, he was menacing, he was confident, he was full of pride. I mean, Goliath represented everything about strength that the Israelites were afraid of. And he challenged the God of Israel. Not only does he have all these qualities that show how great and mighty he is, but he also did some very foolish things, and he challenged the God of Israel. He made fun of the God of Israel. He said that he didn't believe in the God of Israel, and he challenged the people about who God was and whether he existed or not. This morning, I want you to think for a few minutes about giants in your lives. I don't know if the vision or the picture of Goliath that comes up in your mind to you might trigger or you might think about challenges in your life. The truth is, all of us have challenges in life. Some of them are not as big as Goliath. Most of them are not. But as we go through life, chances are you're going to have at least one or two or three Goliaths in your life that you're going to face. Some of you right now have a Goliath in your life. You have a challenge, you have a problem that seems big, insurmountable. You're not sure what you're going to do about it. You may not feel like you have any answers. You might not feel like you have any hope. You might not feel like you have a chance. There's probably a few people here that have something going on in their life and they feel that they absolutely have no hope. If you don't, and you live long enough, you probably will. You will face problems in your life. You will face giants in your life. Some of you are facing them right now. I want you to think about the Goliaths in your life, the challenges in your life, and I want you to see how David reacted to the Goliath and its giant in his life. Goliath made fun of God. He mocked him. Don't forget that part of the story. Not only did Goliath challenge the Israelites, but he challenged God too. Don't forget that. But what about Saul? He was the king. He was the leader of the Israelites. Well, we can pretty much tell the story of Saul in one verse, although there's a lot more we could say and we will say next week about Saul. But for today, verse 11 says, on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and the Israelites were all dismayed and terrified. So that's where the leader of Israel was. There's Goliath. He's breathing all those threats. He's calling them to send out a champion. And the king of Israel, who was supposed to be their leader and supposed to stand up to the bullies, Saul is absolutely dismayed and terrified along with all the Israelites. But then we find David. David was different. David was different in many ways. When you read the life of David, you find over and over again ways that David is different, seems to be different than just about anybody else. Well, we know how he started out. He started out as a shepherd boy. We know that he was the youngest of 8 sons. He's the one that got the job that none of the other brothers wanted. In fact, it was David's job to be out with the animals at night and daytime, day after day, night after night, and take care of the animals. he was seemingly unknown. He was seemingly weak. He was described as the runt. He was young. He was inexperienced. And his brothers seem to have, in this story and later and a couple of other places, they have no respect for who David is. They see no potential in David. They don't see in David any qualities that make them think that God could use him and God can do something amazing in his life. There's really not much in David that anybody around him notices, but yet God noticed him. God saw something inside of David's heart and David's life. God saw something inside of David's character. God saw the potential. David was different. But what? No one saw God. God was there, and he saw that David had something very special. And the thing that David has, David had a tremendous faith. David had throughout his life a great faith. I want you to think about that, a great faith. Of all the words that describe David, and David wasn't perfect, as we know, David had failures too in his life. So we're not describing God here, we're describing a man, but we're describing a man who had great faith. And because he had a great and a deep faith, God was able to use him to accomplish something great. David believed in his heart that God existed. We think about, well, what is faith? What does it come down to? In the book of Hebrews, we read about what faith is. Faith is, number one, believing that God exists. And then number two, believing the scripture. One translation says that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So number one, David believed that God exists. I want to say to you this morning that you have to make the choice of faith and believing that God exists. Some of you, that's very easy to do. Some of you, it's so ingrained in you and maybe life experiences or how you grew up that you've always believed in God. Some of you who have been taught about God have asked questions in your life. And you've come to times when you've wrestled with the question, does God exist? Is God real? Well, David had that he had been working on his faith through those early years of his life, and he came to the place that he knew that God existed. For him, faith in God began with the understanding of the existence of God, but then it was more than that for David. It's not just that God existed in David's heart, but that God would do what was right and could do it. God was powerful. God was able to see what was going on. God knew what Goliath was saying. God knew what the Israelite people were up against. David believed in his heart that God was in charge of the world. David believed in his heart that God knew all about the enemy. God knew all about Goliath. God knew all about David. God knew all about the Israelite army. David believed that God knew his world. And another part of faith that we must have is the faith to believe that God's in charge. To believe that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That God would do what was right about Goliath. David seemed to have no question about that. He knew that God existed, and he knew that God could defeat Goliath. His faith is amazing. It was absolutely, I believe, for David, a foundation for all that he did. All that he said, the decisions he made, he believed in the existence and the power of God. Also, we acknowledge with David on a different note that he was a good shot. You know, you think, well, Pastor, why are you saying that? I'm going to say that several times this morning, but I want you to think about that a little bit. He was a good shot. Why do we say that? What does that mean? Well, number one, it's okay to be good at things that God gives you gifts for, you know? It's okay to know that God gives everybody certain abilities and gifts. That doesn't make us a person of faith or not faith. But God had given David the ability. He had presumably, maybe, I don't know, I'm speculating, he had spent a lot of days and nights target practice. And when it came time for him to sling the stone, it was on target. He was a good shot. We also know that David had faced other enemies, and God had helped him. You remember he told the story later about the lion and the bear, and when everybody's saying, you can't fight Goliath, David kind of, this little short guy I imagine in, this ruddy guy, he just kind of, yes, I've had enemies before, and God helped me then. You know, sometimes it's good to remember back to times when you've seen God at work, and you've experienced his help, and you know he's real, because you don't always feel that. There's been times in my life when I have felt so close to God and so thankful that God is real, and I know He talked to me. I know He talked to me in such a real way when I felt a call to preach. I will never forget that moment that I experienced that feeling of God's presence. It's a precious gift to me. And you know what? It's good sometimes when things might not be going so well to remember back to that day. Say, God, I know You were there. See, David said, I fought against the lion and the bear, and God was with me, and God helped me. He had faced giants, enemies before, and God was with him. And so David says, I am willing to face Goliath. I also notice about David that he didn't try to be anybody else. You know, he couldn't wear Saul's armor. He tried to put it on him, and, you know, there's Saul, pathetic Saul. You know, he's supposed to be the leader. He should have been the one to go out to face Goliath, but he's not about to. There's just no indication whatsoever that Saul's going to do it. So here's this boy who's willing to do it, and Saul pretty much says, well, here, put my armor on, Saul. I mean, David, can you just imagine the king of Israel, the one, the anointed one? And well, David knew he couldn't be Saul. He couldn't wear his armor. What he did have was great faith. He didn't try to figure it out and work out all the details, I don't think. I mean, we don't have this, you know, everything about the story. Of course, we never do, but you know, David just seems to react everything by faith. You know, he hears about Saul, about Goliath, and he says, well, why don't somebody go fight him? Well, nobody's available. He says, well, then I'll go fight him. Well, you can't fight him. You're a boy. Well, God will help me. You know, he just kind of reacts. You know, one of the things of many in this story that this kind of a sidelight, but it's just David's reaction. He reacts to everything with faith. He does much of his life. He just reacts with that knowledge that God is real. He's chosen to believe that. Faith is always a choice. Faith is always a choice. What you believe about God. Nobody can make you believe anything about God that you don't choose to. Nor can anybody take away your belief out of your heart and your spirit. Your faith is your choice. There's ways that we exercise our faith and we grow our faith and we build our faith. But faith is your choice. You choose your level of faith. You choose what you believe about God. And one of David's great examples is he reacts with faith. And God honors that. You might say of David, he seems pretty impetuous. You know, he just says it. He doesn't think about it. He doesn't measure his words and measure his actions and, well, exactly how tall is Goliath, you know? He is reacting out of a belief that God's in control. That's a beautiful picture. David believed deeply in the character of God. He believed more in the character of God than understanding Goliath or understanding his own abilities. It's God that he believes in. He was a young man of great honor. I mean, think of this. David is likely 15 years old or so. I read several commentaries about this. All of them said the same thing. David was probably between 14 and 17. And you look at the chronology as it comes together, and he's a middle teenager. First service, I said, the average is he's 15 years old here when he kills Goliath. 15 years old. Don't tell me that you have to be to a certain age to have faith. Faith is not a function of age. Faith is a function of attitude. It is a function of choice. It is a function of saying, this is what I believe. This is what I hold on to. This is the core of my life. And this 15-year-old shepherd boy had it. Think of that. 15 years old. When he faces Goliath. You think, well, was he just so reckless? Did he have a death wish? I don't know. But I do know he had incredible faith. Think about his view of God. Verse 46 says this in chapter, I didn't read it earlier, but this is how David responds to this utterly foul-mouthed, 9-foot-tall warrior dressed in bronze and a spear that was probably probably 10 feet long. This is what David says, "But I come against you in the name of the Lord, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me." I didn't focus on what Goliath said to him, but you know the story. You're sending out this little tiny boy? What foolish people. What kind of God do you have? How does David react? "Oh, I come against you in the name of the Lord." That could have been enough, probably. You know, when we come in the name of the Lord, how more prepared we are than when we come with all our own abilities and gifts and perspectives and experience. And when we just simply come heartfelt in the name of the Lord, I mean in believing that God's in charge. Think of what David was viewing about God's nature. See, long before David met Goliath, long before, well, he was only 15, I don't know how much long actually, but somewhere back there, David learned to trust God long before he met Goliath. I don't know if it was when he was 7 and he was sent out by himself for the first time. I don't know. I don't know if it was after he sat down, after he managed to kill the bear or, you know, whatever happened. And he kind of sat down on a rock and he's shaking and, you know, all the adrenaline going through. And he's saying, "Oh, God help me through it. You know, I made it." I wonder. But somewhere along the journey that he had, he learned to trust God. I think how important it is for my journey and your journey that we put the stakes down and we say, "I will trust the Lord for my life. When I have a Goliath, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to depend on him. I'm not going to depend on Saul's armor. I'm not going to depend on the Israelites. I'm going to trust in God." And somehow David is able to do that. He learns to trust God. Maybe before you encounter giants in your life, determine who you are, especially for younger people that are here. Maybe you've never really encountered a giant. And a lot of people, some people are blessed and maybe don't ever have to or don't. But chances are you will, and chances are you already have if you're very old at all. But today at least, now that we're here and you brave the snow and you came out, we can say it, I guess, maybe like this. Now that you're here, determine today who God is. Is he worthy of your trust? Is he worthy of you saying, "Man, Goliath is on his way. God, I trust you to help me to know what to do." God is worthy of our trust. One thing about God is God already knew the weakness of Goliath. And he knows your problems. It's not like God doesn't know what you face. You might think nobody in the world has ever gone through what I've gone through. Maybe in your family. Maybe in your finances. Maybe in your marriage. Maybe in the workplace. Maybe you feel like, "Man, God, I know you help a lot of people, and I know you're loving and compassionate, but you really don't know what I'm dealing with." You know, that's one of the things about our enemy is he tries to tell us that. You know, you're alone. No, God knows your challenges. He knows the weaknesses of your enemy. You know, I think of David and, you know, he's got that sling and he's got that stone in there. I keep saying, I said before how he was a good shot. That's a great thing. You know, but I don't know whether David got ready and he saw him coming. I don't know if it's like that or not. I don't know. But whatever it was, I don't know if David just kind of closed his eyes and said, "Whoo!" Or David looked him right between the eyes and he looked at it and he said, "Okay, that's where I'm aiming for." And he let it go. I don't know which way it was. But I do know that God knew the place on Goliath's head that would knock him out. God knew that. And either David through his practice, or God because he just caused that stone to pitch and roll and hit him right in the right spot. But God knew that and he was in control. David simply used what God had given him and God did the rest. God guided his hand. God helped him with what he had. I mean, you would think five small stones in a little pouch with leather. I mean, if you were there and you didn't know the story, I know we can't hardly, but just if you were there and you were watching this and here comes Goliath, what would have you guessed was going to happen? Five little rocks? Come on, David. What are you going to do with that? But God knew exactly where the weakness of the enemy was. And so when David used what God gave him, and David did it in faith, and David did it in the confidence of the Lord, God used it, and it struck Goliath right in the middle of the head. And he went down. Who would have guessed that that's where Goliath's weakness was? Maybe somebody here would have figured that out. I don't know. Your problems may seem too big, and you wonder, does God really know what I'm up against? The truth is, God knows your enemy. He knows what you have in your hand. He knows what you're going to face, and he promises to help you and be with you. Sometimes God wants to help us, but he doesn't tell us things that we want to hear, though. That's really the truth to it. I know that's painful sometimes, and sometimes I've wanted to say that directly to people, but maybe I wasn't as bold as I should have been. But sometimes we face problems because we're really not listening to God. We have Goliath in our life because it's our own fault sometimes. And instead of listening to what God says, we decide we want to structure everything, and then we want God, well, if we're going to believe in him, then God better fix it, because if he doesn't, I'm not going to believe in him. That's what happens when people come to faith and then they fall away. One of the ways. They have told God the way it's going to be, and then when it doesn't work out that way, then they complain that God let them down. It's a little bit off the track directly of these verses where I'm at, but it's a reality of faith. If your faith means you tell God how it's going to be, and it doesn't work out, it's not God's fault. David said, I put my hands in the hands of Almighty God and he will deliver me. And that was it. And he was faithful in the battle. There's so many things about this story that are powerful. David used what God gave him. A sling and five small stones. It didn't look like much, but God honored David's faith. I've often wondered, was David incredibly courageous?
Maybe he was.
He faced the lion and the bear. He said right away, I'll fight Goliath. Maybe he was incredibly courageous. That's possible. We know he was a good shot. Maybe you would call it God directed it. Maybe he called it a lucky shot, whatever you think. Or maybe he just hit his target. I don't know how hard it is. I've tried as a kid, you know. Most of us boys have those open slingshots. I was lucky to get within 40 feet of anything, you know. But practice would help. You know, so courage maybe, certainly a good shot, but the most incredible quality to me is David's incredible faith to face the enemies in his life. If you have a problem today, I want you to know that God cares about it. Whether it's an external problem or an internal problem. Whether it's a big thing that everybody knows about and you don't know what to do, I want you to know that God hasn't left you. He knows about your Goliaths. Maybe he's looking for your faith to trust him. Or maybe you got something going on inside of you that not a lot of people know about. You know, that stuff, that junk. Maybe about the past. Maybe about pain. I want you to know, too, that God understands those needs in your life. The best thing that you can do is put your faith in him and trust him to help you with the giants in your life. Would you stand as we pray?